So we are going to read about illicit sex, plundering, robbing, and illicit earnings. Today, there are different kinds of instructions, what to do and what not to do. And amazingly enough, this is an example of a person who gets very good fortune by just a little touch of bhakti. Most acharyas describe the cantos of the Bhagavatam beginning from the third in the sequence of the 10 topics, sarga, visarga. And you can see in this sixth canto, Srila Prabhupada in the introduction says, canto 6 describes poshanam, or protection or mercy, special care, we could probably say, by Krishna about his for his devotees. So canto 5 described sthanam. Sthanam means how things are maintained, situated, structured. So we have different planets, and they are described in terms of religion. So how different planets are maintained, residents of different planets are described in terms of how they pray and worship the Lord. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Canto 5 describes how Krishna maintains everybody according to their religiosity, and Canto 6 describes how Krishna protects and maintains his devotees despite even their possible irreligiosity. Hare Krishna. So this is already, and you can see the canto starts with a test, and the whole concept is also a test. We can misuse this point about pure bhakti higher than religion, as being higher than religion, to condone, justify some harmful, improper behavior. So that's also a test. Obviously, has to be taken from the with the proper explanation of the acharyas. Prabhupada gave many lectures on these, like this last verse 21, he gave two lectures on the same verse in the same city in different years in Chicago. So 21, he gave two lectures on the same verse, one in 75, one in 76, and also one in somewhere else, Honolulu, I think. There is a whole book we have based on the Ajamil story. So let us chant about Ajamil's bad activities.
Vandyakshay kaitavais chauryar garhitam vrittimastitah vibrat kutumbam ashuchir yatayam asadehina. Bandi akshay, by unnecessarily arresting someone. Kaitavai, by cheating in gambling or throwing dice. Choryai, by committing theft. Garhitam, condemned. Vrittim, professions. Astitaha, who has undertaken, because of association with a prostitute. Vibrat, maintaining. Kutumbam, his dependent wife and children. Asuchi, being most sinful. Yatayam asa, he gave trouble. Dehina, two other living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This fallen Brahmana, Ajamila, gave trouble to others by arresting them, meaning kidnapping, for a ransom or something, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. This verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste shudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in our Krishna consciousness movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life, and which is followed by meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication, one after another. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna. Since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna conscious person, if illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned, for it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. Bandhya kshay kaita vaishchoryar garhitam ritimastita vibrat kutumbam ashuchir yatayama sadehinam. This fallen brahmana, Ajamila, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me by his grace. A complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Shri Chaitanya Padam Bhoja Madhu Pevyo Namo Nama Katanchida Shayad Yesham Shafitan Kanda Bhagbhavet. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are like the honeybees drinking the honey of his lotus feet. Even a dog, by taking shelter of such devotees, somehow or other will also get a share of that honey. Krishna is very merciful. To illustrate this, we have first a description of some bad activities. So these activities described here is something not to do. In Sanskrit it's called heya. So there are examples of what to do and what not to do. Prabhupada calls them do's and don'ts, if you remember. So to illustrate how powerful bhakti is. So you can see it follows immediately as an illustration to the very famous verse glorifying kevala bhakti. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana dun agham dunmanti kartsnena niharami vabhaskara. Some people, some select, most fortunate, most intelligent, and people can be free from all the undesirable reactions by kevala bhakti. Kevala bhakti. So kevala bhakti means pure bhakti with no admixtures, and it's the path that we follow. This is our school, kevala bhakti. So we trust bhakti as the best method. And to help us become more established in that trust in the power of bhakti, so here we have this story of Ajamila. So some places, Prabhupada says it was Satya Yuga. Obviously not the first one. In the ninth canto you can read that in the first Satya Yuga everybody was a Paramahamsa. There was nobody except Paramahamsas in the in the society.
That's Jiva Goswami's comment in the ninth canto, where it says that so in the first Satyuga of the day of Brahma, he says, when it says that there is no varnas, he says it means the first Satyuga. Then some varnas do develop, and then still everybody can be Paramahamsas, but there will be different varnas. Everybody will be at least some kind of a yogi in Satyuga. They are described as this lila is described as part of Chakshusha Manvantara. So that's the sixth Manvantara, and that's when Prahlad was ruling. There were several. So in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says that, like Varahadev, there are several Kumaras. They do this several times in different days, but Bhagavatam puts these stories together as if it is one story, to not be repetitive. And so therefore, elements from the first Kalpa, or first Manvantara, and from the sixth, and from others will be put together, even though these are different Varahas. One is Shweta, white Varaha, one is red, Rakta Varaha. But it's described as if it's one story. Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha. It's put also the prayers of a jiva. He describes this commenting on the prayers of a jiva in the womb. So actually, only a rishi jiva prays in the womb. But it's put as a description of every jiva's development. Not every jiva actually prays like this. Only those who have practiced some devotional service, or got in touch with devotional service. So here we have Ajamila from Kanyakubja, Kannauj, Kanpur, big city. It was an important city in the British Empire, in India. Now we have, I understand, a nice community and temple there. So Ajamila is described here as a person who was born and grew as a nice brahmana, who was doing nice service. Now he is. Then he got married with a nice aristocratic brahminical lady, and then he accidentally saw some lower class people in passion. Almost in public, and then he couldn't get out the woman he saw out of his mind. So he hired her as a servant in the house, and then he kicked out his lawfully wedded chaste wife, and wasted all the inheritance he had, and then he had to maintain the wife and many children. Which also is very interesting. You can see he is like a modern day upstanding citizen. He keeps this woman as his next married wife. He just, we can say, divorced his previous wife, right? What's wrong with that? And in modern days, right? Divorce. And then he's keeping her. He's not just visiting her as a paramour. He's keeping her in house. They have many children. He's not just using contraception to exploit her body. No, they have children, and they raise the children. And not only that, he maintains her and the family and the children. So a very nice person by modern standards. People don't do even that nowadays. They don't even maintain their children and new wives, if you call it like this. And he keeps her till he's 88 years old. The same one. He doesn't go next divorce, younger. No, he keeps her for a long time. So, well, still some problem is there. He's how to earn money. So many people have an illusion that illicit, activities, some breaking law is a quick way, that stealing is a quick way to become rich. That's a big misconception, because by such activity one creates so much pain for others that there will be some suffering for the person himself. So now this verse describes some of the activities he does, that he kidnaps people, he gambles and cheats in gambling. So that's a very popular one. Purnachandra Maharaj many years ago was describing some of his con schemes, some of his how he would cheat people. He says he would have an accomplice, and then he would pretend he is walking down the street searching for something, and in front of some well-dressed gentleman, and then he would say, "Oh, sir, did you lose something?" And Ajamil would say, "Oh, I just bought this very nice diamond ring for my wife, and it costs 5 lakhs of rupees, and it just fell somewhere here. I just had it just now, and I cannot find it. I just dropped it or something. It is such a nice ring. I would pay another two lakhs if somebody just helped me find it." So, "Oh, sir, I will help you." And then this gentleman would start looking, and he wouldn't see this ring, and he would just continue on his way. And then next small side street, somebody would say, "Psst, come here." And, you know, they would say, "Hey," as they usually do. "Hey, do you want some of these?" And "Look, this is a ring. It's a very expensive ring. And I will sell you for just 1 lakh. And it's worth more, but I'm in need of money quickly, so I will give you for a cheap price." And the guy thinks, "Oh, if I can get immediately 2 lakhs from this guy if I return it, and if not, I'll take it to the jeweler and sell it for 5 lakhs. So sounds like a very good deal." So he says, okay, I will buy it." So he buys it for 1 lakh. He goes back to find Ajamil. Ajamil is not to be seen. He's looking and looking, and Ajamil is gone. So he thinks, well, I'll go to the jeweler. So he comes to the jeweler. He says, "Oh, I have here one very nice diamond ring. So how much will you give it? How much will you give for it?" So the jeweler looks and he says, maybe 10 rupees I can give you for this." "What? It's worth, I paid 1 lakh for it. Sir, this is glass. This is very, it's all fake." So that was Ajamil's. So this is a favorite way for such people to earn money, because you can see that people will feel even uncomfortable reporting such crimes, because obviously they themselves acted as crooks. And they always exploit greed or pride. They exploit some vice, and people fall for greed, and that's how they get conned, cheated by this. So that was Ajamil. So he was expert. It takes a lot of guts, ingenuity, and ability to act. So that's so many ways that these things are done. Till today, by these people. But it's illegal. If these people are caught, it's quite interesting. If police tries to catch these people, and even though they did exploit greed, they did exploit bad qualities in others, still such people will be put away if such activities are proven, because they are victimizing people. As Prabhupada says, locks are there not to deter thieves, just like yesterday I heard that some of the fences are feel-good fences, because any thief can scale them, can climb over in 1 second. But you feel good. You think you have a fence. You have some protection for I don't know what. Yeah, feel good fences. So Prabhupada would say that locks are there not to protect us from thieves, because thieves can pick a lock in 12 seconds. Okay, if it's a complicated lock, okay, maybe 30 seconds, or okay, 2 minutes to pick a lock, good lock. But he says not to protect from thieves, but to keep honest people honest. To prevent crimes of opportunity, so to say. So not to corrupt people. Not to create a bad environment. That's why they say that, who was it? Rudy Giuliani in New York, he came up with this scheme to stop small crime. Because in the 90s in New York, the crime, the homicides and heavy crimes fell 2-3 times. So it used to be, before it used to be a very dangerous place, and then it fell many times, it decreased, and they attribute this to his efforts in fighting even small crimes like graffiti and littering and going on the using subway without ticket. So the policemen before that would never even bother to catch these people, because it's such a small fish and you cannot get, you waste more time than you catch these people. So he said, no, you catch everybody without a ticket. So then they started catching these people, and to save time, they would group them in tens. You know, they would wait till they collect 10 ticketless people. And it turned out that so many of them have a knife or an illegal gun or something, and then they would book them, take and book them. Obviously, already if they have a gun or a knife or something, they would. Many of them were on record, or they were already searched as on the list of suspects or something, and they call it the broken windows theory. The broken windows theory. If you come to a play, they made many studies, even in some very clean countries, in some countries where people are very very. I think in Sweden it was done, and in Switzerland it was done, and that. They would give some useless flyers to people on the way out of supermarket, and then they played with the environment. In one case, they had environment with some garbage lying, something broken, some graffiti on the wall, some dirty graffiti on the wall, and then people would get out with this useless flyer. So in one case, it was disorderly, chaotic environment. In another case, everything was spotless clean. Nothing broken, in perfect order. So then, if it was a chaotic environment, then 70% of the people would just throw it on the ground. And if it was very orderly, then everybody would go an extra 100 meters and throw it in the dustbin. So only like 5% would throw it on the ground. And of course, if there is one piece of garbage on the ground, you know, come after one day, there will be a big pile of it next to that piece of garbage. So they call it broken windows theory. If one thing is broken, it grows. And if everything is spotless clean, everything, there is nothing, the road is clean, everybody behaves properly, then others will automatically be more inclined to also follow it. So, therefore, such people are punished because they corrupt the whole society. And this total corruption can start from some things hidden and even invisible. So Prabhupada speaks here about illicit sex and prostitutes. So Prabhupada uses this word prostitutes, and whenever we hear a prostitute, it conjures in our mind some streetwalker in a skimpy dress, or if it's legal in a country or whatever, and some prostitutes who work streets for in a desperate shot of drugs or something. So it's not exactly that type of prostitutes, as you can see from the purports and from these descriptions. Also, sometimes we have some Puranic, very scathing descriptions of women, how they are lusty, and it's a separate topic, and how they are bad in many ways. So then, one description like this is present in Narada Pancharatra, and it's spoken by and heavenly courtesan created from sin, and then the goddesses rebuke her, telling her you should. It's very often that women themselves speak these very, very black descriptions of women. That reminds me of one woman who told me, "Never trust any women except me." It was wiser to follow her first part of the advice, including her. Actually, the first time I heard Kanaka Kamini, that gold and women can corrupt, I heard it from a woman also. It was a wife of an ambassador in one temple. She came to the temple and she said, "I have a birthday, I want to donate for the feast, Sunday feast. Who do I give the money to?" So, you know, $200. That was, today it's $400 from that time, counting inflation. And I, you know, I was a little, you know, naive devotee. And I said, "Give to any devotee here. They will just give it to, you know, wherever it's needed." She said, "Sir, Kanaka Kamini, gold and women can corrupt a mind of even a saintly person. Tell me who is the treasurer." Ah, okay. That guy is is the treasurer. Okay, so she goes. So this lady gives a very negative description of women, which brahmacharis love to repeat, and sometimes it used to be very fashionable for sannyasis to go blasting women like this. But then the goddesses rebuked her, reproached her. Graili? Osramutili. saying, "You didn't have to speak like this, and it's not even correct." They said, "You are describing someone who is a pumshchadi, an independent." So that's what Prabhupada described as a prostitute. But this is just, you know, a woman who is independent, and she just, you know, looks for opportunity to have fun in many places, or, you know, in whatever way she can find most entertaining. So nowadays it's considered completely normal, completely standard. She's completely ordinary. And then they said, so this is one type of women. So such women, yes, they could be like you describe. But there are other type of women. There are dharmapatnis. And then there are so many glories of dharmapatnis, or chaste women, religious women. As Prabhupada says here, aristocratic or chaste woman. So this is a different type of, this different model of behavior of a lady. So therefore, when Prabhupada speaks about prostitution or prostitutes, it's not the street workers who sell sex for money. It's this type of women who are pumshtalis, who are unchaste, oftentimes. That's the character described. So Prabhupada says that this produces so much corruption in the whole society, because to get attention and sexual favors, then people or to get this illicit sex, people will try to procure money, and unfortunately people very often think that illegal ways are a quick way to become rich. So such methods as Ajamil used will be employed, and that will have very negative influence on the whole society. So some negative descriptions like this are given here to describe Ajamil, how he was hopeless in his by doing all of these things. He even killed sometimes. Sometimes he would even be killing people or arranging for people to get killed. And still he was saved by calling Narayan at the time of death. But not only at the time of death, but also throughout his life he would call his son Narayan, Narayan. He was inspired to name his youngest son Narayan. I have noticed that in one of the supermarkets you have a brand of spices, teas, and something else, Narayan, some bio organic products, Narayan. I'm just wondering, is it some devotee who decided to give some little piety to it seems like some Slovenian importer, so the brand is called Narayan. So obviously it benefits people. So he chanted Narayan, and because there was some bhakti in his youth, and even in this life of sin, there was some chanting of the names, Krishna paid attention to this. So that's the topic of Canto 6. This is human society, then we will have Chitraketu, then we will have Indra, how Indra made a mistake and then became purified. Then we have Diti also becoming purified by some performance of bhakti. So mistakes on different levels in different societies, and how just little bhakti is capable of giving complete salvation to these people. So that's the power of bhakti. And so this is the real answer, how the people can be purified. Of course, Ajamil didn't go to the spiritual world immediately. He was just saved from death. So four Vishnudutas came. So the Samacharyas point out that for his millions of lives of sin, three Yamadutas came to take him down. And for just four syllables of one holy name, Narayan, four Vishnu Dutas came to stop the Yama Dutas. So this is the power of bhakti. So therefore, what's the conclusion? Is the conclusion that we just do any damn thing, and then at the, when we feel sick or death is coming, we will say, Narayan! And done. My duty is done. I'm saved. No, this will be the eighth offense, which is much worse than just sinning. We are exploiting. What did you say? Seventh. Seventh offense, yes. Namo Balad, Papa Budi. We are exploiting the name. So it's even worse than just sinning. Because we try to sin and exploit. So we consciously sin. So conscious, if ignorance is protecting a little bit. I mean, reduces. It reduces the punishment according to the Yamadutas. It's commensurate to one's ignorance or knowledge. So, no, it means that we want to dedicate ourselves to pure bhakti, whatever is our position. There's no obstacles to pure bhakti. Nothing can stop pure bhakti, even if one has other desires. As long as we set Krishna bhakti as our purpose, as Krishna says, apichat sudur acharo bhajate mam ananya bhag, no other goal, sadur eva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa, and no other path. So these are anyabhilashata shunyam, or sarvapadivi nirmuktam, being free from all other designations except I am Krishna Das eternally, and having full trust in the path of bhakti, jnana karma dhyanavritam, or nirmalam. That means that we have full trust that bhakti includes everything, and bhakti is capable of giving everything. So, shraddha shabda vishvas kohe sudrida nishchoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. What is faith? Faith is that we have full conviction that by bhakti everything is achieved. And the challenge, of course, is to also do all our activities dedicated to remembering Krishna, dedicating them to Krishna, with devotion to Krishna. And then, even if there are some other desires, if we follow the path of pure bhakti, kevala bhakti, we may not be pure, but the path is pure, then Krishna says in Canto 11, jata shraddho matkathasu nirvinno sarva karmasu veda dukatmakan kaman paritike pyanishvare tato bhajeta mam prita shadalur dridda nishchaya jushamanascha tam kaman dukodar kamscha garhayam. If my devotee has developed faith in my katha, and already has decided to give up all the materialistic activity, and he knows that sense enjoyment is the source of suffering, and paritike pyanishvare, but he cannot give up some type of enjoyment, tato bhajeta mam prita, he should. So it's very interesting. It says in the translation, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. So, condemning this sense enjoyment as the cause of miserable reactions, he sincerely repents these activities. In this way, he never gives up devotional service. So Vishnachakarya Thakur, commenting on this apichat sudurachara, says he's not trying to exploit bhakti. His happiness doesn't mean, I will say Narayan when I die and that's it, then no problem. No, he says, let me go to hell and suffer, pay for my bad activities. Let me suffer my... I am a black spot on the background of pure devotees. But I will never give up bhakti. I will never give up devotional service. I will never take any other process for purification. So he keeps his... So this way, a person can advance the best. So this is the proper recommendation. Not mixed bhakti, where bhakti is secondary afterthought, gona bhakti, just add a little, sprinkle a little bhakti to counteract bad reactions and get a better result. No, that's not recommended. At least pradhanya bhakti. At least we remember that Krishna is the goal. And ideally, kevala bhakti is recommended. Kevala bhakti means that everything we do is service to Krishna. And done is service to Krishna. And the whole sixth canto illustrates the kindness of wonderful Krishna and wonderful path of bhakti. They will always help us. They will support us in every regard. In every regard. Even Patanjali in his Yoga Sutra, he says, you could sort of meditate on different objects, but if you meditate on Ishvara, who is Purusha Vishesha, a special person, Karma Klesha Parimrishta, never touched by karma, then he will help you. He will help you. So that's to advance. So this is the best way of proceeding to perfectional life. Pure bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Questions, comments, doubts? Yes, Maria.
Hare Krishna, you were saying that thieves are thinking that they'll get rich quick by stealing. So, what's the correct understanding? Why does it not work? And how can they get rich?
Because they'll be put in prison. And so it doesn't work. If even the government doesn't catch them, you may remember, in the third canto, so in the third chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, one who enjoys without sacrifice is a thief, and how can a thief be happy? So in other words, there will always be some poison, something poisoning all those in enjoyments, some fear, and also just understanding that one is a crook. One is a bad person. How can one be happy in such a mood? And you, of course, there is karma. There is karma. There will be all kinds of reactions coming from different sides. Either immediately, if one is lucky, and if one is very sinful, okay, then next life, and they will come. And so it's a losing. Whereas if one tries to earn honestly, by honest work, then even if it seems like it's not much, but just by having a good character, one is already happy. Goodness is its own reward. Goodness is its own reward, because goodness means happiness already. Not after some time, already. You are happy. And if you are good, a good person, then usually also everything, all the other good things will follow, including also prosperity. In maybe not in the sense that you will have a palace and a yacht and very expensive cars, but in the sense that you will have whatever you need. You may not be flashy, may not look flashy, like Purnachanda Maharaj was saying that his landlord was confused. He said, "I cannot understand. It seems like you are not a rich person. But every year you go to India, you spend your days with ancient poetry, and I hear you singing all the day. So you have a lifestyle of a rich person. But I know you don't have much money. So I'm confused. Are you rich or are you poor?" So actually, you know, the devotee will get what he needs to advance, and because of goodness, he will be happy.
Right. So Arjuna's problem.
I'm just thinking, Arjuna's problem was more than the way he earned his money, than the fact that he had a prostitute and that he left his wife. Because even Prabhupada, I think, he's describing that courtesans used to be there not to disturb society, but so that man could go there and if there are something.
That was also part of his sinful life. He made his chaste wife suffer very much. And his parents, and her parents. And so he created a lot of suffering for his chaste wife, and then he altogether he just kicked her out. So they're also part of description of his very sinful lifestyle and character. And by the way, coming back, just one more comment to your question. Sometimes it seems some devotees are attracted to get rich quick schemes, like or automatic earning money. It sounds attractive. Just, you know, buy some program, subscribe to some pyramid scheme or something, and then it will come automatically. Bitcoin, some speculation, some financial speculation, very quickly you become rich. Or automatically, without working, you become rich. So, again, we should be careful if somebody's... That's what Ajamil was doing. He was promising a lot for nothing. That's how all con arts work. You are promised to gain a lot for no work. So, as devotees, we are not seeking such ways of becoming of enrichment. So, if there is some reward without work, without some, it can be subtle work on your qualities and performing your brahminical duties. But there has to be some work and some reciprocation, equivalent exchange. And if you see some offer of get rich by doing nothing, please run away from this. Because either you will be cheated and lose everything. That's also another one, like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said, it's a classic also. That's obviously what Ajamil was also doing. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was saying he was walking down Moscow near where they sell, what anyway, cars or something expensive. And then he sees there is a wallet lying on the street. So, you know, you see a wallet on the street, and the first, you know, obviously you think you should pick it up. But then he decided, no, I will not pick it up. And he walks on. And then some boy or young man jumps in and says, hey, see, there is a wallet. And he says, yes. But keeps walking. So then this man, he picks it up, opens, and there is something like $400. He says, hey, look, there is $400. And he says, let's split. Half-half. He says, you take everything. I'm not... He said, no, you take up. No, I'm not taking. And then they explained to him that behind the corner, there's a group of, you know, guys with... and they say, hey, I lost my wallet here. Did you see? Did you happen to... Oh, let me check. What? That's my wallet. And then they take all the money you have. So because it's near some place where they were buying expensive things, they take a lot of your money. That's another classic con scheme. And because he didn't fall himself, so they even had a helper who said, hey, take. He said, that's really strange. So he didn't fall for this. And so therefore... yeah. Somebody else had some questions?
I was thinking like that Artha comes from Dharma.
Yes, exactly. Artha comes from Dharma. Thank you. That's the point. Artha comes from Dharma. From performing our duties, carrying out our duties. Then prosperity is the natural consequence. And by adharma, you can even get riches, like Duryodhana. They say that his wife was Alakshmi, because he had the empire of the whole world, practically, almost. And he had incredible wealth. And he was always miserable and envious and suffering. Or Hiranyaksha. He had the whole world. He had the universe. And even most of the, they say, except three, all the demigods were serving him. There is some very, very strange place still trying to figure out that even Narada Muni was forced into becoming his propaganda writer and glorifying Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, Kijai, Kijai. Then Samacharya say, no, that must be some other Narada. It cannot be our Narada. This must be somebody else. And some say, no, that was Leela. It's still a confusing point. How could Narada get under his influence? But thing is, it is mentioned, except for three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, everybody was under his control. And his eyes were always red with anger. So again, by adharma, you can see these so many of these rich people, they have incredible riches, but because it's gotten by corruption, meaning they steal from 140 million poor pensioners and country and or from whatever. Therefore, they are never happy. They are never happy. They are never satisfied. They are proud, but they are never satisfied. Really.
As far as the question, if I die religious, performing illicit sex, and what was the harm? Well, as it said in the verse, that from illicit sex, and you have, in order to maintain illicit sex, you have to change your diet, generally to meat eating. In order to eat meat, then you have to take wine to digest the meat. Yeah. And then in order to pay for the whole thing, you have to gamble and cheat.
Yeah.
So from illicit sex, everything else comes.
Yeah. Thank you. So therefore, Prabhupada has instituted the four regulative principles. That you don't do this, and behaving in a dharmic way, we place our trust in bhakti, the Sarupa Siddha bhakti, sufficient hearing chanting, and also Sangha Siddha bhakti, good, practicing good qualities, and Arupa Siddha bhakti, doing everything, even your so-called material duties. As Prabhupada says, be an engineer for Krishna. Or as Prahlad Maharaj is told by Nrisi Mahadev, for my pleasure, be the king. For the whole Manvantara, Chakrusha Manvantara, till the end of Manvantara, be the king. Of demons, actually. So, and he was a pure devotee, who could not be cooked in oil. So he was really advanced. But he was, he had no material desires. But he was told, be a king for, so that's the art that you need to learn how to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna arte akila cesta, all endeavors for Krishna, even if they seem material or social, by offering, by our consciousness. And how is that achieved? By changing our ego from aham kar, I am the car, to dasa dasa no dasa ham, I am a servant of a servant of a servant, and trusting in the process of bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.